This is the Global Podcast Network, where executives and professionals connect, share, and inspire. Stay tuned for the conversations that drive success.
And welcome back, everyone. We're going to pick up from where we left off last time with this gentleman, and this is really talking about how to heal from your past, specifically your childhood and the parts in you that are essentially controlling, you know, what happens in your life within your subconscious. We can identify that. Now what do we do? How do we heal? He's a clinical psychologist, offers counseling and pastoral counseling as well. Runs deep in this topic that we're talking about today. And so great to have him back with us. Dr. Will Newman is on the program. How are you doing today?
I am doing well and feeling good. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. This is, I think, something that is so universal, but so, I don't want to say misunderstood, but maybe people aren't aware of why they do what they do and how it traces back to their childhood and things they experience. And as we identified last time, we're not talking about major things here, although that can have a major impact. It's just, you know, being a kid and how that controls you as an adult. Can we recap that before we talk about how to heal from it all?
Yes. We talked about trauma with a big T and trauma with a small T. And the small T may be parents being too busy or inattentive or unpresent or impatient or irritated or frustrated and rushing, so the child doesn't get the time, the attention, the soothing, the comfort, the understanding, the guidance, the direction, and delight. And the child can interpret that it's about me. And I described a child's view: if I feel bad, I am bad. If I feel wrong, I am wrong, and experiences shame of being not good enough, inadequate, unlovable. And that vibrational imprint of that emotion stays in the body, versus the big T trauma is the severe abuse of all forms: physical, emotional, sexual, neglect, deprivation, in a continuum of horrifying ritual abuse to parents fighting and screaming or not present or leaving the child for every day for months or years, or for all the other forms of direct abuse. So therefore, there's varying degrees of trauma, which leads to varying symptoms, from generalized anxiety to panic attacks, phobias, obsessive compulsions, agoraphobia, major depression, from helplessness and hopelessness. And one caller asked, how do you heal that? And one way is to learn how to center yourself in a place of self-leadership, which is marked by calmness, confidence, compassion, clarity, courage in oneself, in the present, and to sustain that long enough so that you may be able to approach the different parts of the mind that are split off whenever there's trauma. And I describe them as protector parts of the mind, or managers, to protect the child who's vulnerable, that we may say is in exile, alone, confused, and in pain, and not having any source of comfort or soothing or relief or delight. When one develops centering self-leadership, one can then observe the feelings in the body, because the body contains the biochemical, electrical imprints of the energy of all the painful emotions of shame, guilt, fear, terror, and by accessing the child in exile through the protector manager, you can lead the child to a way to clear and unburden those crippling emotions that cause a variety of anxiety disorders, personality disorders, major depressions. Even with some people I've observed who were diagnosed with schizophrenia or schizoaffective disorder, some of those people were misdiagnosed. They had complex childhood developmental trauma, and they stopped being psychotic. So the effect is very broad. And the approach is to first identify where you feel the tension in the body that's holding the emotion. And you become attuned to it. That is, remember, after you're centered in self-leadership. And you can speak to the protector parts, the manager parts, or even we'll call them the firefighter parts. So those are the parts who lead to addiction or suicidal ideation. Just numb it or kill yourself. You directly speak to that part in a convincingly calm, confident manner to move aside or step aside to give you a view of this child part who was alone in exile, suffering from all the emotions that were experienced from whatever the trauma was. Once you have access, you earn the trust with that protector, manager, firefighter part of your mind that automatically became present to protect the child. And you approach the child with a conversation that the child part feels safe about, or the adolescent part, such as, "I'm here to be with you right now because I know you're alone with your feelings. May I spend time with you? And if you want to tell me what you feel, I want to listen because I really care, because I really love you."
So essentially, you know, that term, reparent ourselves, that's what we're doing. We're being the parent.
Yes.
And even,
yes.
I'm not throwing any parents under the bus or anything like that, but essentially, it sounds like we are filling the void from the parent that didn't give you what you needed, either attention, soothing, love. And again, that's how the child internalized it. Parent could have been great, but that's, you know, the child didn't get what they needed, whatever that was. So it sounds like we're giving ourselves what we need, the inner child, soothing the child, reassuring the child in us so that we can move forward. Is that essentially what's going on here?
That is for the small t.
Yes.
Versus the big T, where the parent neglected, deprived,
yep,
physically, verbally, sexually abused, didn't protect from someone else who abused the child. So there's the difference.
Yes, 100%. And thank you for that clarification. And even on, yes, the, you know, the big T, where it wasn't something that was parent connected, could have been the loss of a relative, could have been a car accident, plane crash, whatever. Big T trauma, not coming from a parent, but that's still stuck in the inner child.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. In the body, being held in the body. And then as a result, symptoms of coping develop, which are a broad range of anxiety disorders, personality disorders, and in some cases, psychotic disorders.
The How do you get in touch with the child inside? And what I'm detecting here is, from what you're saying, Dr. Will, our minds are always going all over the place. And then certainly if you're an adult processing the little t child trauma, or you don't even know you're doing it, but it's bouncing around all inside your head, you can't do anything. You can't process anything because you're always in a state of alert, alarm. But to come down to earth, ground yourself, get that calmness so that you can get a kind of hold on, a grab on what's going on there. When you're at that state, how do you truly tune into the child within, the child part?
You regulate the body. And the best way to regulate the body is to put the brakes on the vagus nerve, which is the nerve that connects to the brain from the brain stem and goes down the spinal column and connects to all the organs. So the best way to regulate it is through the breath. And when one slowly breathes in and more slowly breathes out completely, that directly soothes the vagus nerve. The other way is to get grounded in your body. So I tell patients, press your balls of your feet into the floor and even say to yourself, I feel my feet. I feel my legs. I feel my arms, my body. Get in focus with being in your body to be resensitized, because when one experiences trauma in childhood or adolescence and adulthood, one can automatically dissociate, which means partially or completely leaving the body so you don't feel, disconnecting from it. And that is an automatic response for the child or adolescent to survive, because it's too, in many cases of the worst terrifying horrific trauma of child abuse, the child would die from the horror of the feelings. It would be too overwhelming. So you dissociate to move away from connecting to the feelings in the body.
And is that also done using substances as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that is. And that the use of the substances is the part of the mind that we metaphorically call the firefighter. Put out the fire by using substances. Stay addicted so you don't feel. And then in the most helpless, hopeless, depressed, dissociated states, there can be a part that convinces you to commit suicide, suicidal ideation.
We cross some major territory here in terms of, you know, suicide ideation. Certainly, if you've experienced or any thoughts of that, there are people, people want to listen, people want to help. You know, I want to say here also that so many of us are afraid to ask for help because we don't want to burden others, but we forget that when others help us, we're helping them because it makes them feel good. We always forget that, but it does work two ways. I want to share an email. And this is from Amy in Syracuse, New York. InstantFeedbackSteve@gmail.com. You can always reach us. She says, I appreciate your conversation. My parents got divorced when I was very young. I feel I have separation anxiety because of it. How can I work on that?
One way is to use the method that I've been discussing related to reparenting. Become centered in your self-leadership, using your breath, getting into your body, feeling your body, and noticing where you feel the anxiety in your body. And when you identify that, usually it's for most people, it's somewhere in the torso. Neck, even neck, chest, solar plexus, abdomen. When you identify that, you can directly, and you're grounded and calmed by using your breath and orienting to the present. Recognize where you are in the room. I'm in a room in my house. I see different colors or flowers. I see the furniture that I recognize. I'm safe in the present. That's called orientation. Regulating the breath, because that keeps you in the present. That helps to move you out of dissociation. Going back to the question, then you go to the when you identify where you feel the anxiety in your body, you may say, well, the part of me that's giving me this anxiety here, please stand aside so I can sense or see the child part of me that was anxious from the separation of my parents. And if it helps, close your eyes, do that. For most people, it does. And notice where you were when you first experienced the separation anxiety. And to approach yourself and visit yourself at that age. I've come to be with you right now, Amy, because I know what you're feeling, because I am you of your future. I know this feeling. That's why I came to visit you. I love you very much and I want to help you. And I want you to tell me what you're feeling, if you'd like, and what you're afraid of. You listen to her and then you tell her, I'm going to be here. You're not going to be alone anymore. And there are ways to take away that fear because you're going to know that I'm always here now. You're not going to be alone. And the fear from the past when this first happened could be taken away by clearing it with the elements of nature, earth, wind, fire, or water. Which one would you like to choose? The wind can blow it away if we stand in the wind. The fire can melt it away. The water can wash it away. The earth can absorb it away. And listen to what the child likes and then lead her to that place to take away the anxiety.
What a beautiful technique. The earth, wind, fire, and water.
Fire and water, the
Yeah.
elements of nature.
Oh, I never even thought of. Well, many times it's been said if you've got something challenging you, write it down and burn it and just
Yes,
make it
that's
go
good.
away.
Yes.
I want to back
So,
up one thing you said. I want to validate something you said, Dr. Will. To do what you're doing, I did it through hypnotherapy. There's tons of modalities, or if you can focus and do it on your own. And exactly what you said, and it was, I do believe, my turning point in that in hypnotherapy, I confronted myself as a child. It was like watching a movie. They're sitting in front of me, and I simply said, I'm here for you. I love you. You never have to worry. I got your back. And
beautiful.
I think that was the turning point of healing from that little t childhood trauma.
That is a beautiful healing modality. I often use hypnotherapy with the people I see who benefit from it. Some people are more hypnotizable than others
You know
and
what? You're
benefit
right.
at varying degrees.
You gotta want it. You gotta
Yes.
believe in it. A loved one of mine, I suggested hypnotherapy, gave the name of a practitioner, worked for me, figured it would work for them. And they did three sessions and they said, man, it's not working. It's a waste of money for me. I'm not doing it. I know without any doubt, I know their personality.
Yes.
They weren't open to it. At least at that
Yes.
time, they just weren't, because it would have worked, but they weren't open. But that,
Yes.
there's no judgment. Everybody's different.
No.
To your point, maybe it doesn't work for some, it might work for others.
Yes. Right. And so yes, that's a most rapid way to do this healing that I like to use for everybody who benefits from it. the first way that I described may take a little bit longer, but it gets you to the same place eventually.
But the beauty in what you described is when you go through challenge or there's some times of adversity, situations that present, and it ties back into the child within you, you can self-soothe yourself, essentially.
Yes.
You know, the baby's
yes,
crying,
you can.
In a way.
It is self-soothing. And that the child who is living in your body with her or his feelings and memories receives that soothing from you with your self-leadership, your comfort, your protection. I'm here. I'm not leaving you alone anymore. I will protect you and care for you and love you.
Do you think, Dr. Will, it's reasonable even during the day, you know, you're having an average day, sometimes you have a thought here and there, to even just say that to yourself, even in your mind?
Yes.
Or driving in your car, just say, hey, you know what, I think, you know, you may be sad, you may be worried about something. Don't worry, I'm here. I got you. You never have to worry about anything. Is it okay? Is it impactful to do that even on a regular basis?
It is. Mm. It is. I encourage that. It's very beneficial. And that sustains the relationship with the child part that you approached with the therapeutic treatment that I described.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then there's trust built up. When there's trust, then the child part within you is less anxious because there's consistency in the relationship. And the loneliness from the example of from Amy of separation anxiety subsides because you are present to replace the absence of the parents who were not there.
For anybody that thinks this just sounds ridiculous, I want to share a very, very, very brief analogy. There's a belief that our cell phones, even our smart TVs, are always listening to us. Some people believe it, you know, hey, I was just talking with somebody, and then all of a sudden I saw an ad show up. My phone's got to be listening. Whether it is or not, that's not my point here. My point is your subconscious is always listening.
Yes.
Just like the belief of the phone is always listening. No matter what, you think it, you say it, your subconscious, it's listening to keep you safe and protect you. But that's also the child inside of you that's listening. So if you know, you're driving in your car and you want to reassure the child in you, the child, i.e. your subconscious, it's listening, right?
Yes. That is well said. The child is always listening as the subconscious. The child is present as the subconscious.
Yeah. It's Dr. Will Moore. I've learned about this, study it, live the journey. I'm amazed how we get through life. I mean that in a very serious way. Like with everything that we've experienced as children, whatever that may be, you know, and it's our interpretation of any situation, how we are even a function. I'm amazed. And imagine if we healed.
It is amazing. That's why I tell my patients, it's the brilliance of your resilience.
Ooh.
It's the amazing grace and brilliance of your resilience.
You know, I don't do New Year's resolutions. I pick a word to pilot the year by. And last year, my word was resilient. I came to that realization that, wow, you overcome a lot. You're resilient. That was my word. Yeah. You don't realize it until you really think about it. And even though just a little progress we make in life. Wonderful talk today. How does somebody connect with you? If they've got questions, they want to maybe book a therapy session, learn more. How do we do that?
You may call me directly at my office, 978-388-0022. Or email me, Dr. Bill, Newman, N-E-W-M-A-N, @gmail.com. And on my website, energy psychologist, Amesbury, MA.com, there's a section to write me a note as well on the website.
Beautiful. Thank you for today. And the energy psychology part, we've talked about it in the past. We didn't hit it today, but I feel in your practice, that is such an amazing combination, taking the psychology, understanding, you know, the child within and
yes,
the energy side, which maybe we'll get to maybe next time or in the future when we get together. I would love that if that's okay.
Definitely. I would like to explain it.
Love it. Thank you so much for being here today.
You're very welcome, Steve.
We'll be right back.
This is the Global Podcast Network, where executives and professionals connect, share, and inspire. Stay tuned for the conversations that drive success.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give him a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.